Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck. As you can hear from this speedy delivery, I am in a rush. John is busy doing errands. We're trying to get the show out here. The extra day off this week screwed everybody up, but hey, it was Memorial Day. John, how are you?
It's for the rubes, Mitch, the rubes.
What's for the rubes?
The Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right. We actually have a following. People come to the show now. They listen to it. They want it. And today is our 99th episode of the Power Cosmic. We're closing in on the big 100th. 2 years of nonsense out there. Audio nonsense all across the airways. They said it couldn't be done. They said we wouldn't go more than 20 episodes. They said nobody would listen to it. Well, they were right about that. But here we are. Right, Johnny?
We did. I thought we were going to, what do they think? We wouldn't get past 20, right? Or 25, something like that.
No, 20 episodes. And that would be Matt Herring from the former Secret Identity podcast. He's not even around anymore. So we outlasted him. So,
hey, that's right.
I just came back from the comic book store.
All right, go ahead, Mitchie, sir.
I just got my new comics. We're going to do that this week. I'm going to tell you what. What?
I haven't bought a new comic since 2003.
Well, I just bought a bunch of books. I spent money here. I had to go buy Spider-Man issue 800. There was 20-something variant covers. I picked up the one by John Romita Sr. You know? It's Dan Slott's last story for Spider-Man. He's going to go do the Fantastic Four in Iron Man. So this was his final grand for, you know, last hurrah, and it's all about the Red Goblin. You know who
So what is it? The Green Goblin merged with Karnak, right? Carnage.
Yes, so we have a Red Goblin. And then I realized, I think today was, or maybe Kitty Pryde got married to Colossus. I don't think I picked that up today. I think that was at the newsstands.
She did? They got married?
Yeah, the wedding issue, yeah.
Big yay.
I'm looking at some of the variant covers that I did not pick up. They had one by Steve Ditko.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm looking at, yeah, they have some of the guests at Terrificon have some covers. We have Frank Cho. He did a cover. Ron Frenz and Brett Breeding. They'll both be at Terrificon. Let me see some other names here.
I can't wait till that hits the Twitter.
Ditko. The Twitter and the Facebook. Twitter, Mark Bagley, he's been at the show. He's not coming back. Mobius, well, he's dead, so he ain't coming. There you go. So I don't have all 20 covers. I don't know who in their right mind does.
Yeah, but it's a copy Ditko cover. Like, what was
the, yes, it's a remastered one from an old Ditko sketch.
Yeah, Ditko don't care.
Ditko don't give a shit.
Hey, Mitchie, we got news. We're going to sidestep your little new comic going on. I'm going to throw a thing out of left field.
What?
Mitchie went somewhere yesterday.
That's
He had a good time. Hold on. Mitchie had a good time seeing the new venue. But Mitchie sometimes acts a little impulsive. Sometimes he gets overexcited, overenthusiastic. And he threw something up. Mitchie, take it from there.
That's right, Johnny. We went to see the grand opening of the Mohegan Sun Expo Center. As we speak, right now in recording this, they're doing the ribbon-cutting ceremony with all the high falutin people there, the leaders and the people in charge. So they're doing the ribbon-cutting ceremony. So I was there yesterday, the day before, to take one final tour of everything. And my wife was there, and they were setting up the stage that they were going to do the big ceremony today. And she said, why don't you get a picture up there? And I said, oh, yeah, let me do it real quick. So I grabbed my camera on my phone. I did the selfie, and I didn't have a poster with me. I should have brought a Terrificon poster or a banner because I usually have them. But I had some postcards on me. So what I did, I'm hanging this up right now. What I did was, I held the postcard up, and they're the brand new postcards I just got from the printer. And I didn't realize when I held that up that it had one of our headlining guests on the card. So if you look really closely, and I know people did, you will see that the Punisher himself, Mr. John Bernthal, is on the postcard. John Bernthal, also from The Walking Dead, he played Shane for the first two seasons, I think. But most Marvel fans know him as Frank Castle, the Punisher, from Daredevil season 2 and the miniseries as well. They just finished Daredevil season, Punisher season 2. That'll be on Netflix coming up soon. So he will be at my show. And the crazy, devoted, terrific con fans zoomed in to the photograph to see who was on that card. And they are quickly talking all over the internet, breaking the internet as we speak, to say, hey, the Punisher is coming. And you're right, John. I let the cat out of the bag a little too early. It was supposed to happen on Friday, but I jumped the gun there.
I see. While everybody else focused in on Bernthal, I focused in on another picture. There's a picture of a guy dressed up as Mitchie when he's in the morning. Like, he's gray, he's got the Mitch hair, the wig going on. Who's that, Mitchie?
No. That is actor Drew Powell, from the Gotham TV show, and he's portraying Solomon Grundy. You know, born on a Sunday, died on a Monday.
You sure it ain't Mitchie Grumpy?
No, it's Solomon Grundy. Now, the man has the same height as me. He's about 5'10". We might have similar girth. And as Solomon Grundy, he has a gray pallor, and he also has whitish gray hair. And you keep making fun of my hair and saying that a guy looks just like me.
I would pay $500 for that wig so I could wear that around. But I'm trying to figure out if that wig or Jim Steranko wears, like, where do you get them? Like, is that, like, I would pay money for those two wigs.
Stop it right now. Jim Steranko's hair is of legend. It's a big pompadour. It's almost of Elvis quality now.
I would love to feel how slick it is out, like, underneath the wig. It's probably so, like, a leopard velour. Like, it's got to be so nice. And because, you know, Steranko.
How do you know that's not his real hair, Johnny?
How do I know, Mitch? Because I look at it and I can tell.
He's a very virile man. The legend of Jim Steranko. We've done a whole episode here on the Power Cosmic podcast. There's rumors that he runs with packs of wolves at 4 in the morning.
That is true.
When he gets iron in his cereal or for breakfast, he eats nails. The man is a dynamo.
An absolute dynamo. And out of respect, nobody mentions it. But, I mean, come on, what are we going to say? That hair, it's over. It's over.
Come on, he's physically fit, John. Why are you picking on the guy?
Well, I'm just saying. No, I'm not picking on anyone. I just point out the truth. I love Jim Steranko.
All right. Stop this right now. All right. Are we done? So anyway, if you're listening at home and you haven't figured it out, like I just mentioned, the big media guest that we announced so far will be John Bernthal from The Punisher. He will be there on Saturday and Sunday. We also have a bunch of other guests coming up, Johnny. Should I kiss and tell?
Oh, I like when it gets on the Twitter. So go ahead.
No, we'll hold off on that one. I won't do it then.
No?
No, I'll wait for it. I'm looking. Can we go back to talking comics now?
Well, I want to, before we do, Mitch, I think there's something else we got to talk about.
What is
something that? Something went international the other day. Why don't you throw that out there?
All right. On another podcast, because you and I are such idiots when it comes to marketing, we happen to have Mr. Roy Thomas join us on the Marvelous podcast hosted by Mr. Peter Melnick out of New York. And it was recorded over at East Coast Comic Con that you and I were there last month. And during the interview with Mr. Roy Thomas and ourselves, Roy let it slip that he will be appearing in Daredevil season 3 on Netflix. Now, you and I had known about this for months, but we haven't told anybody.
But Mitch, I think this is what you even forget. If you listen to our podcast a week prior to that, we talk about that. I don't know if you know, but we talk about Roy being on Daredevil.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Listen, you don't remember because that actual thing that we recorded with Peter, that was actually a few weeks prior to that. They just recently put it out. But the only difference is Roy said it on the air with them.
Yes.
But we mentioned it a week prior. But being stupid and having access to Roy, We could have just had Roy do it on our podcast.
I know. And what happened? Peter and his silly podcast is now all across the world. Literally, we saw news releases coming in from CBR, comicbook.com, Comic Shop News, and lo and behold, internationally, it was on Italian websites.
Yeah. But Sci-Fi took it too, as a couple other places.
Yeah, because Roy is international. Roy is now joining the ranks of Stan Lee. He is the anointed one. The exalted prince of comics is getting his day in the sun and appearing on Marvel live-action TV shows and movies now.
Now, people should know, I worked pretty hard. I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to toot my own horn because I like to toot my horn on the Twitter. So what I'm going to do is say, I worked very hard to get Roy into Hollywood, and it happened. And they gave him an option. I tried to get him on Captain Marvel. A lot of people have been saying to me, Jesus, why didn't you get him on Captain Marvel? I tried.
They were too late.
Yes, it was too late. It was already in production. But don't despair. I'm going to see if I can, if they make Captain Marvel 2, which they have that in the long-term plans, I'll throw the little Tyken in there. But I'm trying. I tried. So what happened? I talked to the bigwigs. They first denied it. They first said, oh, we don't know because this and that, this and that. Then they actually contacted us back, and they gave Roy three options. I'm going to throw this out here. Here's an exclusive on Twitter. It's going to be, number one, they gave him Jessica Jones, The Punisher, or Daredevil. Roy, he doesn't like The Punisher. He doesn't care about Jessica Jones, but he was the first person to write Daredevil. That was issue 51, and to do on Daredevil, and so he liked Daredevil. And he created Turk Barrett. That's a Roy character, the guy that's always informing Daredevil of all the inside information. That's a Roy Thomas co-creation.
Yeah, I know. I got the first appearance of that was in Daredevil, no less.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Turk Barrett. Barrett, is that the name of the character?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he
was actually in, if anybody knows this, if they watched the trial of the Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno and I forget the guy that played...
Rex Smith played Matt Murdock.
Rex Smith. He goes after Turk. No one talks to the Turk. And then the Daredevil beats him up and he gets the information.
Oh, so that Turk was Barrett. Turk?
Yeah, Turk was in there. And people should know this. Turk Barrett makes his first appearance when Stan Lee made his first appearance. That was Stan Lee's first cameo ever. He was on trial when the... It was called The Incredible Hulk on Trial, and Stan Lee was in the jury. He was in the jury selection.
And wasn't Jack Kirby there as well?
No, Jack Kirby actually appeared before Stan, if anybody knows this, but he appeared in an episode of The Incredible Hulk back in the 70s, and he was, some lady was in the hospital, and he was like a sketch artist for the police. That's where Jack Kirby was in there. So Stan Lee actually came in I think it was 89 is when the trial of the Incredible Hulk came out. That could be 88 or 89. I think it's 89. And then Stan Lee made his. But people should know this. Roy Thomas was with Stan Lee when they were filming the pilot episode back in 1977 of The Incredible Hulk. He was with Stan Lee there, and they were kind of like looking over the whole thing. That was the only other time Roy has ever been on the set of any Marvel production. And let me throw this.
Hold on.
On Age of Ultron, that would have been a good time. You got to admit this, Mickey, that Roy could have had a good little guest shot in there. But he wasn't. He was actually on a drum riser, and it said the Roy Thomas. It was called the Roy Thomases or something.
The Roy Thomas Orchestra.
Yeah, something like that. So he got a little name call out, but it wasn't Roy. So anyways, Roy is going to be in season 3, and I can't tell you who he's going to be, but I'll say they treated him well, and hopefully he says he has a minuscule part, but in these things, we don't know. Right, Mitchie?
Yes, and I do know he will be playing the Juggernaut. There, you heard it right here. Roy Thomas is the Juggernaut.
That would be fun. Imagine that, but no. But that's right. It. Okay.
All right. Are we done? Because I want to go do stuff today.
No, well, I thought you were going to go talk about your comic books.
I was trying to be topical. What's going on in the news? Let's see. The Han Solo movie opened up did not do well. Only made $103 million. Was not.
No, but hold on, Mitchie. Hold on. We are so fat now on all this crap and huge budget stuff that we're saying that $103 million is like nothing now. When if a movie hit $100 million back, that was like unheard of. Now think of this. We're complaining because a weekend it didn't make $200 million. I don't know, Mitchie. That's kind of
The problem is it cost almost $300 or $400 million to make, so it's a loser.
So my problem, I'm gonna say this out front because I don't like to lie. I bootleg the bastards, and if I'm not gonna see a movie, I just see it. I can see it online. They're all sent to me. I can see everything, and I don't care. But if I like it, you know, I'll go with my daughter and I'll go and see it. I will support it. But I saw the Han Solo. I think I text you at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, yep. And I said my problem, not that it was just overacted and all this stuff. Okay, I know some people like it, but my problem is he looked nothing and acted nothing like Harrison Ford. How did they cast him and why? Take it away, Mitch.
They said they weren't casting. It's not called The Adventures of Harrison Ford. It's called The Adventures of Han Solo. So they hired an actor to play Han Solo, not Harrison Ford. That's what their excuse is. I'm like, yeah, whatever. If that's what you want to say to make yourself feel good, sure. That kid, his mannerisms, he acted like Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid is a nice guy. He's in some good movies, but he has a weird delivery. Every time he says a line in a movie, he does this crazy, goofy smirk or smile like he's got something wrong with him. And that's what this kid kept doing. He thought to play it cool, whenever he delivered his line, he had to do a crooked smile and a little smirk. Like, aren't I so freaking hip? It was annoying. And plus, he's about a foot and a half shorter than Harrison Ford. And it kept driving me nuts. I'm like, what is this? Is he going to suddenly take a pill and grow to be 6 foot tall? This kid's barely 5 feet. What is happening here? And I don't know. That's another story there.
See, that's why I get the problem with Michael Keaton. Everybody says Michael Keaton's such a good Batman. I'm not saying Michael Keaton is a phenomenal actor, but he's only about 4'2". And you can actually see it in the second Batman when he's walking down, like, this pathway. I don't know. I know they do camera trick. But it's after he fights that gang, Penguin gang, and it's. But he walks down the little path, and you can see. I was like, he's smaller than Matches Malone.
Speaking of Matches Malone, we sent our sincerest wishes for a speedy recovery because our good friend, the Dark Knight, has just suffered a heart attack, and he's one of the nicest guys there is you'll ever meet. Serious cosplayer. He'll help anybody. He'll give the cowl off his back. He'll give the cape off his back to help a kid out. So we hope Matches a speedy recovery.
Yes, that's a good one, man. Yes.
We love Matches Malone. But anyway, so Solo didn't make as much money. What are you going to do? They're going to still make Star Wars movies. Disney is trying to recoup that billions of dollars they paid for Star Wars. And, you know, what it is, what it is. What are you going to do?
Millions? You mean billions?
Billions, billions, billions. But anyway, speaking of Disney and Marvel, let's get back to this week's comic books. I was telling you what I bought here. I'm all excited. First off, I'm mad. I bought a box of Hero Clicks, and it would happen to be the same Clicks I bought already offline, so I don't even want to talk about it. I wasted $12,
$15. Well, let's throw that out there. On our last episode, we talked about the Clicks.
And now I'm addicted. In 1 week, I'm already on it.
We don't even play. We just love to get this.
I just, I'm wasting my kids' money right here. All right. I picked up today, from the world of DC Comics, The Man of Steel number 1 by Brian Bendis, a 6-issue weekly series that will talk about the retelling of the origins of Superman.
Now, did they release that because Spider-Man 800 was out this
year? Yeah, you know, I don't know. I was surprised. I knew it was coming out, but I'm like, wow, this is out today. It was a big week today. There was that.
How many variant covers did that thing have?
I only saw one, actually, just the main cover. I was looking through the back. I didn't see other ones. So I picked this one up here. $3.99 has a digital copy DC's doing that now. The Man of Steel number one. So I'm going to have to check that out. DC actually had a bunch of fun books this week. I don't usually buy a lot of DC, but I picked the following books up because I had to. You ready? Aquaman and Jabberjaw.
That's pretty cool.
Because Jabberjaw, for people who don't know, was one of the most brilliant cartoons ever about a big, curly Howard, Three Stooges-like giant shark that hung around with people. Yeah, that's what Jabberjaw would say.
Yeah.
And then I got The Flash and Speed Buggy, number one.
Pretty cool. See, that's good stuff.
I got, I don't even know if this would be politically correct anymore. It would probably offend somebody. Hong Kong Phooey meets Black Lightning. That's a good one, because I don't know if it's cool to say Hong Kong. I don't know anything anymore.
Is it cool to say Black Lightning either? I mean, I
don't know. Yeah, you can get away with that. And then Super Sons and Dino Mutt. Dino Mutt and Blue Falcon were a team, and now I got that one there. So I picked up those. This is an annual thing. Last year they did it with Elmer Fudd meets Batman, Bugs Bunny meets Superman, Wonder Woman met Tasmanian Devil. They're fun books, believe it or not. They put them together. And there's a backup feature. I know you're going to appreciate this because one of your role models is in this. Oh, come on. You didn't know this? In the back of the Jabberjaw one is an 8-page story of Captain Caveman.
Oh, one of my favorites.
But here's the deal, though. They made him realistic.
Huh?
Yeah, they made him. What if he was like a real guy? So he's drawn like, you know, like a realistic figure here. And he's Captain Caveman. He still is wacky, but it's not done, you know, like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Wait, let me just throw something, because you just said a key word there. What did you just say? He's kind of what?
Wacky.
Okay, and I just picked up, I ordered it off the Amazon.
The Amazon?
Yeah, I got the complete series of The Wacky Races, all 34 episodes. Holla!
The Wacky Race, Dastardly Dylan, Penelope Pitstop, the whole crew, huh?
And the Slag Brothers, they predate Captain Caveman. The Slag Brothers were the two cavemen that were in the rock, and they always beat each other on the head.
When I think of the Slag Brothers, I think of you and Roger, who was also just recently hospitalized here. All the great ones are getting taken down. We got to be more careful out there. We're going to be in big trouble.
Oh, boy.
The world of comic fandom in the Northeast is taking a hit left and right, my friend.
Okay, so did you get to read that story of Captain Caveman?
I just got home from the comic book store, and I called you up.
Oh.
And Funky Phantom is in the backup story. You remember Funky Phantom?
No.
He was like a Revolutionary War type character. He was in those Hanna-Barbera stories back in the day.
I love those. I probably do, but I was...
After a while, the Groovy Ghoulies was a good one. I used to like
them. Yes, Groovy Ghoulies are fantastic.
They were like the music world version of... what the hell? They live next door to the Creepies?
Yeah, they were
Crawlies. What was the name of that spooky Addams Family type group that was a spinoff of the Flintstones? The Groovy Ghoulies, right? What? No, the Groovy what?
Yeah, I think the Groovy Ghoulies.
And it was like Morticia Addams, and they had a guy with a mustache, the husband. It was just a ripoff of the Addams Family.
If we're incorrect, make sure you let us know on the...
Oh, no, they know. Scott Martin's probably screaming at his phones right now. You idiots, it's called the Groovy Goombies or something. The Groovy Goombas, that's another story. That stars Jimmy Gambino. Oh! It's about a guy who has a lot of pizza that squeezes out of his paws and comes to life.
They fight the Mamelukes.
No. It's like Gloob and Gleeb. You know those little Herculoid things? They're like the big blobs of fat that escape his gut, and they come out.
Two meatballs.
Oh! And then they got to fight Kosher Kaz. Frank Kaz shows up, and he's trying to chop him up, but he's not really Italian. He just acts that way because he's hung around Italian neighborhoods, but he's as kosher as a kosher could be.
Frank he's always Kaz. At the deli. He's always at the kosher deli.
And people don't know what we're talking about. Well, these are some more characters that we encounter on the Comic-Con circuit. Frank Kaz is a old-time cuss who's been selling comic books since before they even made paper.
And you might not know him on Facebook because he's booted every other fucking month.
The man's had more aliases than Jesse James on Facebook. They keep throwing him off for his political views. He gets banned every other day. It's like, where's Frank? I don't know. Then this character shows up. Frank, he's got a new name. Like Bruce Banner kept changing his last name, you know? David Blaine. David
Bill
Baxter.
Blaine. Bobby Bixby, you know, it's always a new name.
It's always a different B name, so he could keep the same initials on his monogram towels. I never understood that, you know. Oh, what's your name? David, I'm David Boone. Oh, okay, I'm David Butler. I'm David Banks. I'm like, we get it. Your name's David. I got it? Okay.
Yeah, that's Frank Kaz.
Frank Kaz is, he lives out in Queens. I don't want to give his full address because he might think they're coming to get him and then start screaming at the radio. But he's our resident conspiracy guy. We love Frank.
And you'll see him at Terrific Kaz.
You always see him. And then we got our other friends, Looney Lawrence, Kenny Lawrence. He's out there. Kenny Lawrence was the only call-in guest we ever had on the show. Maybe people remember him from episode 91.
We should call Carbonaro.
No, that's another one of our motley crew. Oh, my God. We got so many of them. It's not funny. This is my daily existence. And they all talk to me at once. Last night, my wife goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm talking to six people at once on Facebook. They're all texting me at the same time, and I have to keep all the conversations cohesive. Even though I don't really want to speak to any of them. Oh! That's my cross to bear in life. Anyway, so those are my comics. I also picked up Captain Marvel number one, John.
Captain, I see.
Danvers.
See how old school I am? You're Carol Danvers. I actually thought, what, Shazam? But No.
I heard apparently I have to go get Avenging Spider-Man number 9 because that was the reboot of Carol Danvers.
Oh, in the new costume?
Yeah.
Like back issue, right? Those go for about $100 a pop.
I think I actually have that book. I don't know. It's probably downstairs in a box, but apparently that's a hot book right now.
Yeah, it's been hot. I've actually sold a few of those. I don't have any more now. But
Avenging Spider-Man, it came out only like 3 or 4 years ago. It's not that old.
Yeah, but it's her in the costume fully embracing the role.
Yeah, that's that. So we got that one out there. What other books are out there today? What did I get? I got Spider-Man. I got, Marvel 2-in-1, The Human Torch and The Thing, getting ready for the Fantastic Four reboot coming up. And who else is coming out? I don't know. A lot of stuff's happening here. Nick Spencer is doing The Amazing Spider-Man number 1 coming out in July. That's another little heads up, kiddies. He'll be coming to the Terrific Comic-Con. Ooh, isn't that something? He's the one famous for the Secret Empire book where Cap became a Hydra agent for a while, and everyone lost their shit on that. I was like, oh, come on. It's just a story. It's going to fix itself. Calm down. Jesus God.
Take it easy.
Don't get me all fired up, okay? Look at Johnny Storm. I'm flipping through my book right now. He's trying to save the universe. Dr. Doom's in this.
How much are comics now? Are they $4 or $5 a pop?
$3.99 this was.
Hey.
Nothing costs. Everything. I try to equate it like $3.99 is like a dollar used to be. $5 is a dollar. No, wait. $3.99 is basically a dollar. $10 is $5. Everything's been divided up, you know? It's all worthless and weak. I like those old T-shirt ads when T-shirts used to be $1.50.
From the ones from the 60s?
Yeah, those Marvel ones. I'm like, come on. Anyway, we're winding down here. I'm losing my steam. It's 12:30. I don't know what the hell to do today. I'm trying to plan the after party for Terrific Con. If you go to the Terrific Con group page, join up. You could vote and help me decide what to do after the show's over on Saturday night, you know?
I mean, keep it you know, keep it kid friendly.
See, I like just to go hang out with you and Roy, and we just go get something to eat, and we just hang out and talk about comics and kind of, you know, or maybe not comics, but.
Well, that's what happened last time, and we couldn't find you. It was me, Roy, and friggin'
Engelhart. Yeah.
Engelhart, and then our resident.
Steve Martin.
Yeah, resident psycho there,
Scott Martin.
I need to call him R.W. Martin.
No, that's a different guy. But anyway, what happens is not everybody comes hangs out with us, and they all want to go out to after parties. And I'm 51 years old. I don't know what the kids do with the Twitter and the Instagram and the Facebook. But if anybody's got suggestions on where to go, why don't you tell me? Tell Mitch where to go. He likes being told off. So, right?
And that's that.
Oh, we're there already? Fine. Yeah, it's half an hour. Goodbye. That's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.